Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to be reading John chapter 10, verse 10, and Leviticus chapter 20, it's, I think, I forget what verses I exactly put, 1 through 5, so we'll be going back there maybe twice, but Leviticus 20, 1 through 5, of course, Leviticus is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, third book, in the Old Testament, John, fourth book in the New. Appreciate the Lord this morning. I'm proud of my hat. Amen. Appreciate that. Hold that hat up again there, bub. Does everybody see my hat again? There you go. You have to have a big head to wear a big hat. And apparently I got a big head. And I got a little fella back here who's got a littler head. Where's he at? Where's your hat? In the car. Me and him will be modeling our hats this evening. Singing "I Found Jesus Down in Mexico." Oh, Ernie Haas song. That's really a gospel song, in case you didn't know. It's Southern gospel too, so it's what they sing in heaven. I didn't bring them. But thanks, thank you, Mark and Chrissy, for bringing that. Like I said earlier, you know, they told me, I said something about wanting a souvenir, so they brought me back a hat. So I told Brother Mark here a while back I'd like to have a Corvette, so we'll wait and see what happens. Not going to happen. You first. Well, hurry up and go get one, so I'm getting in line. But appreciate the Lord this morning. Of course, I know everybody's noticed we've decorated the church for this morning's service. Sitting around us this morning are 100 pictures. This various pictures of babies or cartoon babies, just different things to remind us of the subject of the message. The title of the message is Life Matters. And I think it's a shame that in our society you have to put adjectives and adverbs in front of that to describe exactly what type life matters. You know, we've run through you know, the Black Lives Matter, and then you've got this crowd over here that says this life matters, Blue Lives Matter, Red Lives Matter. Let's just be honest, life matters. It don't matter if it's blue, black, red, beyond. It don't matter if it's a straight life or, and if we're straight, so that means the other crowd's crooked, right? Yeah. Well, y'all got real quiet there, didn't you? Might have a couple crooked ones in here, amen? Make me nervous. But that's just the way it goes. And we want to say, this person, you know, well, you know, this person's important, that person. Everybody is important, and every life matters. So that's what how we're going to try to present this message this morning. Now, we will be dealing somewhat with the subject of Roe versus Wade and the Supreme Court decision from Friday that was released Friday that reversed that decision. Now, don't get super excited. Friday did not federally ban abortion. All that happened Friday was that the federal government is sending the control of this issue back to the state governments. That's all that happened. How it should have been to start with. Now, I know as I'm going to preach this morning, there's going to be folks that will disagree with me, and you're welcome to do that. But you have to do it quietly. Amen. Because if you get up and run your mouth, they have folks in this church that'll pick you up and put you out. Raise your hand. All those that'll be ready to get up and put somebody out, raise your hand. See, look at there. Everybody, I even got kids. Y'all know my bodyguards, my assistant pastor, my associate pastor. They will escort me out of the church this morning as they do every Sunday. But, of course, I'm joking about that. Well, not really joking. There will be somebody who will probably tell you to shut up or something. But there's going to be various opinions. Even within churches, there are various opinions on this issue. So we're going to try to be gentle and kind as we can by still being biblical and straightforward and honest. Because as I said earlier, every life matters. Amen. Regardless of decisions that's been made in the past, mistakes that we've made, I would hate to think that God would throw us away because of something we've done. Right? So, every life matters. And we're going to try to present it, this message this way. As of Wednesday, I was still debating on what to preach this morning. Sometimes God inspires you through circumstances in life. And that's what happened Friday. As we began to read and hear and watch the news, and that's what a lot of y'all did, and all the different opinions and talking heads that were giving their opinion. I read a thing that said, wonder how many pulpits will have the nerve to address the subject on Sunday morning. And then God spoke to me and said, do you have the nerve? And I said, what? God said, you got guts. And I said, look at me, God. I got plenty of guts. Amen. And so we're going to preach on it this morning. So y'all pray. If you want to stand, we'll read John chapter 10, verse 10, and we'll jump right into the message. It's about, looks like about 20 till right now. Is that right? So flag me down at about 15 after, and we'll see where we are. Brother David, if you will, just wave at me. Don't blow me no kisses like you did last Sunday, though. He might be that one crooked life in this whole church this morning. No, I'm joking. John chapter 10, verse 10. Here's the whole point of all this issue with Roe versus Wade, the abortion issue, and the pro-choice, and pro-abortion, whatever you want to call it. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Lord Jesus tells us the three things that motivate the devil. And everybody that is serving the devil's purpose this morning, they are their only motive in life, their only goal is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I am come. So he gives us a contrast. You notice there's a colon there, so it separates the two statements. This is why the devil's coming. Then Jesus says, this is why I'm here. I am come that they might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. You can be seated. Again, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. So listen, Jesus didn't come and die on a cross and do all this for you to be miserable. Hello? I mean, y'all know that Christian, that bless their heart, they just miserable. They got the wrong dose of Christianity. I mean, if you come to church, and I use the example, and everything looks like it stinks to you, and you make that face all the time, I mean, something wrong with you. Jesus said, I want you to have an abundant life. He don't mean to want you to be rich. He's not talking about money. He is, however, talking about Corvettes, Brother Mark. Amen. Praise the Lord. But Jesus ain't talking about stuff like that, monetary and all that. But what he's talking about is your joy. Another thing he said, I want your joy to be full. And that's what we're going to try to preach on, as life matters. But just to give you a little background, a little history, and I said I need y'all's prayers. Between June 11th and June 28th of 1776, the gentleman by the name of Thomas Jefferson began working on a document. This document would be formally adopted on July 4th, 1776. It is now called and known as Declaration of Independence. initially, as Thomas Jefferson wrote one of his initial drafts of this, he wrote, "We hold these truths to be sacred and undeniable, that all men are created equal and independent, that from that equal creation they derive rights inherent and inalienable, among which are the preservation of life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness." Now, most of us are familiar with the finalized version of that statement when Jefferson and the other men, as they reviewed the draft, wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator." Now, let me stop and pause real here for a minute. Anybody that says that the United States of the Nation was not built upon a biblical foundation has not read that second paragraph in the Declaration of Independence. Thomas Jefferson, and I think it was five other men, plainly put in here that men have a Creator. America was never intended to be an atheistic evolutionary country. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says they are endowed by their Creator with certain, now he don't mean certain, he means definite, absolute, certain, unalienable rights. That among these are, so not just these, but these are the three that they're going to deal with. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Endowed, as he's reading here, that they are endowed by their credit means supplied with a permanent fund. That means that our right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness shall never be exhausted. Nobody should have the ability to take away anybody's pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. He says these rights are unalienable. Again, that just simply means unable to be taken away. So that was 1776 that this has come down. Now, in less than 200 years, taking you up to the years 1973, our government that was birthed on these unalienable rights that was built on that, wrote this, passed Roe versus Wade on January 22nd, 1973 in the Supreme Court of the United States, and ruling that abortion was protected by the U.S. Constitution as a means of, through the means of the right to privacy. Now, listen, the word abortion not one time appears in the United States Constitution. Now, that's important for you to know that. The Roe, y'all know the Roe in Roe versus Wade, this lady was actually named Norma McConvey. She is suing the state of Texas to abort her third child. Not because she's in any kind of danger. Not because the baby was sick or anything like that. Not because she's sick. Because it's her third child. She doesn't want any more. She becomes pregnant in 1969. Now, if you've listened to me preach very much, and many other preachers preach, this country changed in 1969. Things happened behind the scenes spiritually that warped our country. But she sues the state of Texas in trying to get an abortion. Now this goes on, obviously it goes on for 4 years before the decision is finally finalized by the Supreme Court. This third baby was not aborted, but was adopted. Praise the Lord. I'd love to find out what this life became. But I'd love to. In 2004, Ms. McConvey stated that her participation in Roe versus Wade was the biggest mistake of her life. Amen. She regretted it. So now, for the last 49 years, this battle has been raging. Every time a Supreme Court justice comes up to be appointed, that's one of the first questions they're asked. Every time somebody runs for office, they're either pro-life or they're pro-choice. You know, it's always going to make it sound good. You know, they can't, you know, we look at them and say, well, they're not just pro-choice, they're pro-death. That's got a different ring to it than pro-choice. And they don't look at us and say, well, they're pro-life, they're anti-choice. Now, we believe in choices. Amen. I believe you had a choice. You made your choice. What we ought to really label it is anti-consequences, for the most part. Now, I'm going to deal with some stuff. Don't get panicked yet. But for 49 years, this has been the issue. This issue's divided countries. This issue's or the country. This issue divides politics. This issue has divided families. This issue divides churches. It's a major topic. But the truth of the matter is that it goes back to John 10:10 and the thief. And Satan has always sought to attack and even kill the innocent.
That's right.
I said, now, Brother Gary, I don't know about that. Satan's always hated youth. Always has hated youth. And can you prove it? Sure. In the Garden of Eden, the first person Satan talks to is the youngest person ever created. Eve. You ever think about that? He don't go talk to Adam. He goes and talks to Eve. Now, we can give a lot of long list of supposed reasons and believed reasons why, but I believe one of those reasons should be because she was the youngest. Satan hates youth. You see that in Eden. In Genesis chapter 4, he causes the death of Abel, Adam's youngest son. Attacking and killing youth. How does he do that? Through Cain, to his brother. Basically destroying the lives, as far as we know, which we know Adam had sons and daughters and all that, but as far as we have name for us, he destroys the two youngest people created in one effort. Abel's dead and Cain's cursed. In Job chapter 1, Satan destroys every one of Job's children in one night. You seen a pattern with the devil yet? In Exodus chapter 1, Pharaoh gives the order to kill all males born to Jewish women. Children. And by Leviticus chapter 15, the worship of Molech is condemned by God. And basically what Molech is child sacrifice, and that's when it's first mentioned in the Bible. And God says, and thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech. Now Molech's important, as we'll be preaching this morning. In 1 Kings chapter 11, the wisest man that ever lived fell in the Molech worship, Solomon. In Jeremiah chapter 32, beginning with verses 32 through 36, God pronounces judgment on both Baal worship and the worship of Molech. And he tells them the punishment is captivity. In Matthew chapter 2, Herod orders the murder of all children that were born, that were in Bethlehem, from 2 years old and under. One night. If you go through history, they say Hitler killed at least 5,000 babies. You start to see the thief cometh but to steal, and to kill, and to destroy, and his first target is young people. They said, I read this, that just in this year in Ukraine, during the Russian invasion in Ukraine, over 2,000 babies have been murdered just in Ukraine. 2,500 is the number I have. As of last night at 6:23 p.m., 20,570,030 babies and counting have been aborted across the world this year. As of this morning, when I looked at 9:21, the number was over 20,643,000 this year. Just from January till 9:21 this morning. Amazing And we're missing the attack. It's not about choice. It's not about a lot of things. It is the thief coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So as of this morning, everybody that you see on the news and on Facebook and all these Tic Tacs and all that, everybody's talking about the Roe versus Wade and the Supreme Court. And they're either, oh, they're the best people ever was, or they're, that should have never happened. Everybody's got an opinion on it. Our president, and whether you voted for him or not, he's your president. Bless our hearts. I mean, you get what you get, I guess. That's what happens when I don't know. Bear hush. But even our president, in a speech, and I watched his speech, condemned the Supreme Court of the United States, saying that abortion was a constitutional law, and as such had been settled and should not be messed with. Now, I'm not quoting word for word, but it's loosely interpreting that for him. So my question to Mr. Biden is, if abortion is settled by constitutional law, then keep your stinking hands off my guns. It was settled a long time before Roe versus Wade was ever pronounced. And for that crowd that says, well, you shouldn't, you don't need this type of gun, you don't need that. I don't need your permission to want anything I want. I'm of the belief, if I could afford it, if I wanted to put an Apache helicopter in the yard, that's my business. I just don't want nobody else putting one in my yard, amen. But listen, unless Brother Mark's buying it, me and him helicopters. But, I mean, we got, I mean, 3 weeks ago he was saying that the Constitution and all that wasn't set in stone. Now all of a sudden, oh, that's set in stone. That shouldn't be messed with. Well, make up your mind. Well, amen. Our vice president responds. She's attacking. The LGBTQ crowd is condemning the Supreme Court of the United States over abortion rights. The crowd that can't reproduce. I mean, you ain't got a dog in the fight. Two hims don't make anything. Two hers don't either. I mean, if anybody ought to shut up, it's that crowd. You can say amen. I mean, I was reading this stuff, and I thought, why in the world are they fussing? I mean, yeah, Billy Bob and Jim over here holding hands. Well, we can't get an abortion now. You couldn't get one to start with. You ain't got the right plumbing, man, or whatever. I mean, good night in the morning. But they're upset. This is going to restrict LGBT rights everywhere. I don't know. I don't get that. It blows my mind. Which one of them going to get pregnant? Whew. Amen. I got to move off of that one. Amen. California, Florida, Pennsylvania, Texas, Indiana, New York, Arizona, Colorado, Massachusetts, New Jersey, and many other places Friday night saw protests in their streets. I read this in one protester had a sign in New York City that said this: Kurt Cobain believed in women's rights, so should you too. He did. Why do we care what Kurt Cobain believes in? I mean, yeah, I didn't care when he was alive. I mean, I would have picked a better sign than somebody, bless his heart, anyhow. Somebody's probably in hell right now. Then the sign next to that sign about Kurt Cobain read this way: men shouldn't be making laws about women's bodies. Then why'd you have the sign about Kurt Cobain? If you don't want men to be involved, then don't put him on your sign. But on the bright side, I thought about this as I was reading the sign: men should be making laws about women's bodies. Well, praise the Lord, at least now they have admitted there are only two genders. And apparently they have finally figured out, Miss Jackson Brown, whatever her name is, has finally figured out what a woman is. Because she's upset. Amen. But listen, out of 100 abortions, and that's what each one of these pictures represent, are abortions. We're going to give you some amazing, enlightening, educating stats that you won't get probably most anywhere else. And before I preach this, I want to have to say thank you to Miss Alicia. She helped me get some. She got all these pictures printed and all that. Brother Luther, I appreciate Brother Luther. He helped me hang them up. Appreciate that. I even for preaching this message, somebody says, "Well, you know, you're not educated enough to preach on this kind of message." I consulted one of the most foremost scientific medical minds in the history of medicine, Miss Libby Brown. She is my resident medical authority, and I consulted her, and she can vouch for that. I mean, me and her spent some time talking back and forth on those book about how to do what this and what that, and so she's a medical expert. Out of all the abortions committed, at best, 3% of those are for medical reasons. Mama's life's in jeopardy. Baby's not going to live, whatever. Only 3%. And depending on who you talk to, that number's high. I've read even statements from, y'all remember C. Everett Koop, Attorney General many years ago? He said that there was no medically necessary abortions. That medicine had advanced to the point that there was no need for an abortion. That's what he said. Now, I said, you know, don't get muffed at me yet. He said, for nearly every circumstance, we have the ability to help see the mother through that. Now, there are some issues. Even abortion doctors have stated the same thing. I've got quotes from Planned Parenthood up here that says there is technically no medical reason. That what you do, and I talked to Miss Lee about this a little bit yesterday, what they do is they prematurely deliver the baby and then let nature take its course. One abortion doctor said of all the abortions he'd ever committed, out of Albany, New York, he said that he, you know, had never killed a baby, that he prematurely delivered them and then would let nature take over. But I know, I've studied, I've read, and talked to Miss Libby, that there may be an extreme rare case. So we are going to say 3% medically necessary. Now, the next group that everybody argues about that they want exemptions for is for those that have been sexually abused, whether raped or through incest. Now, this statistic is probably going to wow you. The total amount of abortions committed that were based upon rape or incest is less than 0.5% for incest. Rape is 1%. So together, you're looking at about 1.5%. Is it? Now, they would have you, the news media would have you believe that number would be way higher. But 1.5%. Now, the flip side of this is that only 1 out of every 4 sexual assaults are reported, they estimate, to the police. So that leaves 75% of these are unreported. So we don't know how many pregnancies may have resulted through those. So what I've done to up this number is I took the 1.5% and increased it to 6%. And I used math and come up with that number, taking the 75% and times it and all that. Hello. So at 6%, that's allowing for that bunch that's not reported. That leaves, are you with me? 91% of every abortion committed is for social or economic reasons. 91%. Now, look around you. Start this corner back here and look around. 100 baby pictures all up on this wall. If we're going to say 9% we're going to allow exceptions for, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, run out fingers, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Hold those for me, please. This is the ones that Brother Jay has. Hold them up, Brother Jay. That is the ones from medical reasons, rape, and incest. Those. All the rest of these pictures represent every one of those babies that are murdered because mama just didn't want it. Did that make a big dent? Can you even hardly tell? That's what 91% looks like. That are murdered because mama is afraid it's going to hurt her financially. Or mama just don't want a third child. Or mama, for whatever reason she come up with. And the news media and the world won't tell you this. The 9%. And like I said, my number at 9% is a high number. I'm generous at 9%. My medical professional is nodding her head yes. She knows I've been. She knows what I've done. She knows how I've concluded with the math. And she said, yep, that's high. And me and her talked about that yesterday. Me and Miss Alicia talked about that. Uh, 91%. The British Journal of Medicine stated that once a lady has an abortion, she is 81% more likely to be depressed, suffer through anxiety or guilt. They won't tell you that either. I talked to a lady many years ago. She told me, she said, I've had more abortions than I can count. And she said, at night I can't sleep because all I hear is babies crying. Nobody ever asked her opinion on it now. When they can't now, she's dead now. You know what happened to that lady? She drugged and alcoholed herself to death, trying to escape her demons and the noises and the crying. So the question I have this morning, now we have just 91 left. Why are we in such a rage to kill 91? If you want to take an exception for the medical crowd and the rape and incest crowd, I don't think very many folks would argue against that. Some will, but some won't. But if you want to allow that exception, all right, we'll do that for this morning. We'll do that for this morning. Why are we? What did this 91 do to you that their life don't matter? Now I understand you. And I'm with most of you on some of these issues, and it's hard, and it gets you in a bind, and I understand. But medically, they're telling me, medical professionals are saying that we have the know-how and the knowledge to pretty much make abortion obsolete. So why is it an issue? Why? Satan is trying to get into our mind and convince us that life don't matter. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, those nine back there that Brother Jerry had, to me, them nine matter. I think they matter. I think you do all you can do. And I understand there's issues, things come up, different things. I'm not judging nobody this morning. I mean, you have to come to your own conclusion on a lot of this. But, you know, I'm anti-murder too, but if you pull a gun on me, I'm going to try to blow your brains out. Amen. That's just how I am. I understand things come up and people make decisions and do the best. I understand that, and I would never dare be mean to somebody, but I still think we have to come to a point where, man, life matters.
That's right.
Life matters. This 91 matters. The 100 matter, the 9 matter. But when we say, when the devil's trying to get us to the point where nothing matters, that means that standards don't matter. If life doesn't matter, then our standards don't matter. There is no right or wrong. If standards don't matter, then there's nature. Nature, laws of nature don't matter. I mean, it's natural for a woman to want to take care of a baby. We went somewhere the other night, and me and Lisa were watching. This lady had a little baby there, and we was watching all these younger girls, you know, 15, 14, 13 years old. All of them wanted to hold that baby. I didn't see one boy walk up to this mama and say, "Can I hold your baby?" Boys don't do that. Now, if the daddy would have had a Glock, the boys would come, "Can I touch it?" That's boys, amen. I mean, "Can I see the bullets?" That's what boys do. But the girls are, "Oh, can I give it this bottle?" And I said, "Why are girls like that?" Lisa, because it's maternal instinct. That is, we say nature, but it's really not nature kicking in. That is creation kicking in. Little girls want baby dolls. Yeah. Little boys get Tonka trucks. And so, well, that's, and now society says, "Well, you're gender conditioning." No, honey, I'm just gender reinforcing. Amen. 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 I mean, God didn't make a mistake, I promise you. But standards and nature and all that, if life doesn't matter, if this crowd around us don't matter, then those standards are out the window. Loyalty doesn't matter. What's loyalty have to do with it? If that is an opportunity to escape a consequence from an action, 87% of all abortions are had by unmarried women. It's a consequence they're wanting to run from. And why does this happen? Because we don't respect ourselves. I cannot expect anybody to respect another life that does not respect their own. So you can say amen. I said, "Well, Gary, trust me, this is good Bible preaching right here. It's to help you." Now, I'll repeat that for the crowd in the back, maybe didn't hear me. If you don't respect yourself, you're never going to respect anybody else. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
It's just natural for a mama to want to take care of a baby. Now, us dads, we'll take care of him. I mean, when Isaiah was little, if he fell, I knew to get him up. Miss Alicia knows how to kiss the boo-boo and put the Band-Aid on it just right and all that stuff. Dads don't care. I mean, we're not, we walk it off. I mean, your arm could be falling off and your dad say, "You got another one going." I mean, you're not dead. I mean, y'all see that thing? Somebody said, "I died once and my dad told me to walk it off." I believe that. Amen. I mean, you can't scare me. I held a flashlight for my dad. Amen. How many of y'all ever done that? Amen. And Isaiah can amen this one. You're not holding it in the right spot. But your dad, it's right there. I can't see. But mamas are like, "Baby, put it right here, sweetheart." And a mama will have the flashlight in her mouth, a screwdriver in each hand, and like Popeye. Mamas know. I mean, I know Isaiah don't need to go outside naked. She knows what colors match. Right? I mean, look at some of you fellas. She didn't help y'all get dressed this morning either. Man, it's just natural. Mamas want to care. But Satan has got us so convinced that this does not matter. So now we're suppressing instincts that God has put inside of you. I challenge you. Go find a rat that just gave birth and try to stomp that mama rat's babies. The mama rat will fight you. And now we've got ladies that they'd stomp their baby themselves given half a chance. They drive, put them in a van and drive them in the ocean. Y'all seen that video? Y'all seen it on the news? Mama's putting their babies in bathtubs and drowning them one at a time. There's something demonic in the world that something like that happens. And we see this. I mean, mamas don't care. Mamas don't care. We talk about deadbeat dads and all that, and we give deadbeat dads a hard time. One of the ugliest things in the world is beside, even more ugly than a deadbeat dad, is a deadbeat mom. Amen. Y'all liking this so far? Or, yeah. Sort of, kind of, maybe a little bit. In a society that will allow the murder of its smallest, most innocent, most vulnerable, will soon allow the murder of its elders. You grandparents, look at me for a minute. Some of you grandparents, you need to get a reality check this morning. You have grandchildren that are sprouting off the mouth right now, this morning, in favor of aborting babies. Your grandbabies. Well, what's that mean, Brother Gary? When you get sick, if they'd kill their own, they'd kill you if they got to have a chance. And I said, oh, not mine. If Sissy, her and Junior, whatever, if they'd kill their babies for nothing, well, if they think they're in your will, you better be careful. Say amen.
Amen.
I'm trying to be nice, Miss Christie. The plan is simple. It's to convince us that life does not matter. And I'm telling you this morning, life matters. Let me give you three things. David, give me 15 extra minutes. Three things. Number one, if life doesn't matter, then the Creator doesn't matter. Like I said, 91%. What this is a direct attack on creation. The giver of life, the Creator, doesn't matter. Even though God knows and forms and all that, they don't matter. And so if they don't matter, this crowd does not think God matters. In the beginning, God created, right? Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man, and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 3:15, her seed shall bruise thy head. Satan's doing his best to convince the world that atheistic evolution is the only way to go. And if he can convince us that life doesn't matter because life just spontaneously pops up on the planet and life just so miraculously happened like that, that nothing has a plan, there's no purpose, there's no nothing. If he can convince us that of that with this crowd, he can convince you that God does not matter. Yeah. Satan's goal. Mm-hmm. We are nothing more than an elevated animal. And basically what abortion becomes is survival of the fittest. Yeah. If life doesn't matter, the Creator doesn't matter. Number two, if the Creator doesn't matter, then His Word doesn't matter. Right. What you're seeing with every one of these pictures is an attack on this book. Yeah. Satan hates this book. He attacked Eve, the youngest ever created at the time, through God's Word. Satan's destroying people's confidence in the Bible. We got churches all across the country right now don't even have a clue what a Bible is. Got young people in our world right now don't even have a clue what a church is. They don't have a clue. They don't know. They've never been brought up. Psalms 138 verse 2 says, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. One thing that God says is even more important than his own name is his word. God's word is our standard this morning. The word declares that God created. These lives, all these babies, they're not something that mom and dad just so happens to be a consequence of a relationship. These are individuals that God intended and created that have been snuffed out and just before they even hit the prime of their life, ladies and gentlemen. And this is an attack on God's creation. The Bible says that God formed. The Bible declares God's judgments. And the Bible declares that God knows us before we even come out of the womb. Ladies and gentlemen, life matters, and because God's word matters. Jesus died for all of us this morning. He died for everybody ever born. I don't care if you've had 100 abortions, if you've never had none. I don't care if you agree with anything I preach, if you agree with nothing I preach. Life matters and you matter. God matters. Jesus died for you this morning. There's folks right now that don't have a clue of what's coming. Jesus is getting ready to come back, split this eastern sky wide open, and one of these days you're going to figure out just real soon how much God's word mattered. Amen. You'll wish you'd listened. You wish you'd heard an old-fashioned preacher. You'd wish you'd sat in a church that began to give you the word of God and begin to try to convince you and try to get through your thick head that life matters. And it might have been seeing what you did, but there's still forgiveness. There's still hope. If you turn from your wicked ways, life matters because the word matters. If his word doesn't matter, then nothing else can matter. You see, without the Bible, there's no standard. There's no standard for life. There's not even a point to life without this book. It's how important your Bible is. So those of you that never read a Bible, you're missing the point. It is the point. We're under attack. We've preached about this stuff now for hundreds of years. About babies being in heaven. David, Bathsheba, and y'all know that story. David said, well, the baby, I can't bring him back here, but I can go to where he is. We know all that. Why would God put that in that book? To teach us that life matters. Why would God tell Jeremiah, while you was yet in your mother's belly, I knew you? Why would God say that? Because his life matters. Right? Why would God tell us, and this one begat this one, and begat that one, and begat that one, and begat that one? You don't get nothing else about anything some of these guys ever did, but you know who they was and who their moms and dads was. Yeah. Why? Because their life mattered. Amen. Life matters, right? Amen. You can go through there, and you can say, this is the son of this one, and this is the son of this one, and this, and it's even their grandpa and their grandma and this and all that, because they mattered. They may not have done anything that we have written down for us to show us what they were or anything like that, but to God, their life still mattered enough to be mentioned. Your life matters enough that God mentions you, and God knows you. God knew who you was. God knew where you was going to be. But we're living in a world that's trying to destroy the standard. The Creator doesn't matter. Well, since the Creator doesn't matter, the Word doesn't matter. And if the Word doesn't matter, then nothing else matters. If I can convince you that one Ten Commandment doesn't count, that discredits the other nine. If I can give you a pass on thou shalt not kill, won't be long for you to be taking a pass on thou shalt not commit adultery. Or thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. If you can get it in, if Satan can convince you that you can get away with, why do you think we say to people all the time, that person thinks they can get away with murder? Because if you can get away with that, you can get away with everything else. And Satan is trying to convince us that life doesn't matter. Because he hates that book. He hates the standards in that book. Now, I'm old-fashioned, I'm redneck, and I'm just hillbilly. I believe life starts at conception. That's what I believe. And I said, well, I don't agree with that. Well, everybody that disagrees with me, is the only way they are able to do that is because their mama didn't have an abortion.
Amen.
And because their mama wasn't LGBTQ, too. I still don't understand why they're throwing their hat in the ring with this mess.
Right.
Nothing else matters. If we can kill 91 for no reason, it's not going to be long before you can kill all of them for no reason. It's not going to be long till you can kill Mama and Papa for no reason. Well, you know, Papa had a good life. He lived to be 74. And he's sick, so we're just going to put him in the car and lock the garage door shut and let the car run.
I got a job at the nursing home. You'd be surprised how many of the people in there, their charts, their families that do not resuscitate,
yeah,
like on their charts and stuff.
Yeah. Just get rid of them.
Yeah, there's,
David telling me about a guy where his grandpa's at, which is a completely different circumstance, but he's there with no visitors. You know, life matters. But let me give you this: there's an abortion advocacy group from Detroit. This is the goal. In case you're not catching this, that they pushed to have a satanic statue of Baphomet. Y'all know who Baphomet, y'all know that idol, erected alongside a Ten Commandment monument in Arkansas. Why is a group from Detroit worried about a Ten Commandment plaque in Arkansas? Now, just so you'll give you a picture, from Detroit, Michigan to Little Rock, Arkansas is 869 miles. Mind your own business. It takes, if you were driving by car, 11 hours and 42 minutes to drive from Detroit to Arkansas. 11 hours. How long take you to drive from Oklahoma? 22. So half a day. Right? Was you asleep the whole time? Huh? 22. Well, I mean, but the half the distance. Why do they care? Most of these groups that you see fighting this stuff, they're not from here. They're from way out here, way over there. As it's trying to teach us, nothing else matters. Molech, the god of the Canaanites. Remember I told you about Molech earlier? They'd offer their children in sacrifice to Molech. They would take little babies, and they had this thing built in such a way that they could set the arms of the statue were built in such a way that they could place a baby in them. And they had fire burning in the belly of the idol. And its hands would set like this. So its hands would get real hot. So they'd take their babies and lay them in those hands. Burning. That's why God said, don't let your seed pass through the fire. One of the ways that they've murdered these 91 babies is by burning them. They inject a solution into them and they burn them. What we're seeing is government endorsed child sacrifice. And we're in a mess because the devil's teaching you this life don't matter. Those nine back there, they don't matter. We're in a mess, folks. And you got people mad because the 50-year-old law. that wasn't even a law, was a ruling, has been overturned. They're mad. People that couldn't even last month, couldn't even define a woman, are now upset over women's rights. I'm telling you this morning, life matters. Now, I know there's going to be folks who are going to call me and fuss at me, and they're going to say, well, if life matters, what about, you know, who in your church does this, and who, what about that, and what about this, what about that? Let me just quickly give you some numbers for the folks in our church. We have in this church families that have taken in children, whether through the foster care system or through whatever. They've taken in kids that were not theirs. I know Mark and Chrissy have. I know we have. Got families, more than one in this church, that are adoption families. They've adopted babies, grandbabies, different things like that. So it says, well, they say, you're so pro-life, why don't you adopt? Well, what about this? How about we either make abortion the same price as adoption? And make it out of pocket. Amen. Or let's make adoption the same price as abortion. And make it government funded. Amen. Amen? Why should I have to, I mean, really, why should it cost $50,000 to adopt and the government go in there and you show them your Medicaid card and you get to abort for free? Let's be fair. We got families in this church that have adopted. We got families in this church that foster. We got step parents in this church that have stepped up to be a dad to kids that weren't theirs. And I thank God for them. We've got grandparents in this church that have raised their kids. And I thank God for you. And I don't mean to be mean or hateful or ugly. But it's a shame that grandparents have to raise their children, their grandchildren. Yeah. That's a shame. If you're not going to raise them, don't have them. Abstinence. I don't know if y'all know this, but abstinence works. What do I need to do to not have a baby? I mean, it's real simple. Real simple. People say, well, I didn't mean to. Yeah, I think that's probably the same thing Charlie Manson said. I seen a picture of a lady the other day. And she had on her shirt, I think she said, I've had 7 or 8 abortions and I'm proud. And what that is, let's be honest, that's a serial killer. That's not, and like I said, if you're going to allow the exception, I'm sure that that's not medically necessary. Right. And I'm sure that wasn't rape or incest. Right. Folks, we're in a mess because the devil is convincing us that life doesn't matter. And I'm begging you this morning, hear me. These lives matter. And but hear me again, if you've been there and you've done that, there's still forgiveness for you. All is not lost. The lady I was telling y'all about earlier that told me that she couldn't sleep at night because all she could hear is babies crying. She did, as far as I know, she did give her life to the Lord later on in life. But it still drove her crazy. It still haunted her. You can be forgiven, but the thoughts of what you did, you're still going to have to deal with. So there's still hope. You can be forgiven. The Creator matters. His Word matters. And everything else matters. There is a standard. There is absolute truth. To the crowd that's telling us that that don't matter is also the crowd that tells us, well, I celebrate my truth. You don't have a truth. It's either truth or it's not. And Jesus is truth. This world's in a mess. And it's because we're allowing them to teach our children we're animals, that they're animals. And now we've gotten what we should have expected. You got a president that lets her can't ride a bicycle.
Yeah.
And he wants to condemn us because we believe life matters. We've got folks that are wanting to fight for all the babies in the school. We got to protect our schools, protect our schools, protect our schools. You know the best way to protect our schools? Protect the ones in the womb first. Give them a chance. If you need to talk with somebody about adopting, come here to this church.
Yeah.
We can hook you up with folks that would be happy to adopt. That's because they already have. We got folks, if you need time to get your feet underneath you and get your mind settled, we got folks that would gladly take your children in till you get yourself settled. Because we believe life matters. If your baby's sick, you need to ride to the doctor, we'll take you to the doctor. If you need diapers, we'll buy you diapers. We try to buy you some formula if we can find it. We'll help you. Because life matters. This is not a message just to condemn. This is a message to inform the world, anybody that'll hear it. Life matters. Do all you can do to give life a chance. Jesus did. If he hadn't done what he done, none of us would be here this morning. May God bless you. It's my prayer. If everybody will.